Welcome to Selections from Virtual Antietam, recorded live and unscripted right on the battlefield, and brought to you by virtualantietam.com, where you can find maps and full-screen panoramas to accompany these tours. I'm your host, Stephen Recker. Please join us as we explore scenes from the Maryland campaign of 1862. All right, it's September 5th, 1862, and we're at White's Ford on the Maryland side of the Potomac River, looking across at Virginia. Upriver, to our right, Potomac River flows the length of Maryland all the way up into the Ohio River Valley. To our left, downriver, is Washington, D.C., ultimately, and then into the Atlantic Ocean. At about noon on this day, Stonewall Jackson will arrive on the far bank, and his men are going to dig some of those steep banks away so that they can get their artillery and their wagon trains into the Potomac. And the first to cross will be the 10th Virginia of Taliaferro's brigade. A little less than 2 weeks, they'll be fighting along the Hagerstown Pike. Now, they probably don't realize that as soon as they step into the water, they're in the state of Maryland. The state of Maryland owns the whole Potomac River. But for now, all they're thinking about is splashing into the water. And they're very optimistic at this point. They figure that as soon as they hit Maryland, that they're going to find a lot of Confederate sympathizers. Well, I think they'll be a little bit disappointed, but that's a story for another day. But nonetheless, Stonewall Jackson's men will move into the water. Instead of coming straight across, they're going to veer just a little bit to their right and make more of a bow pattern. If you look just to the south, downstream, there's a little place called Mason's Island. And some of the sediment from there is built up, and it's going to be a little shallower there. So the Confederates are going to bow a little bit to their right and walk across some of that shallower ground. And then they're going to bow back to the left and hit right about where we're standing here. Now, there were a handful of Yankees that were standing on the northern side of the Potomac River watching the Confederates cross. Now, of course, they scattered as soon as the Confederates got near, but not until one of them observed that the Confederates were the dirtiest men I ever saw, a most ragged, lean, and hungry set of wolves. Yet there was a dash about them that the northern men lacked. They rode like circus riders. Many of them were from far south and spoke a dialect I could scarcely understand. Now, a curious thing is that the three top Confederate commanders are going to be somewhat incapacitated at about the time of the Potomac crossing. Robert E. Lee, as we talked about last week, he was injured right after the Battle of Second Manassas. He had a broken hand and a sprained hand, and he had to cross the Potomac River on an ambulance. James Longstreet, on the 6th, when he crosses, he'll have one of his feet in a carpet slipper. He's got a nasty blister that won't heal on his foot. And Stonewall Jackson, who right now is sitting on his horse in the middle of the Potomac River watching his men cross, he's going to have an accident the next day. It seems that Little Sorrel had been lost for a few weeks, and a Marylander that was a Confederate sympathizer gave him a gift of a horse. Unfortunately, it was a bit of a stubborn horse, and when Stonewall Jackson tried to mount it, it wouldn't move, and so he gave it the spur, and the horse boots Stonewall Jackson right off flat on his back, where he will lie for almost an hour before he's even in good enough shape to get into an ambulance. Well, that's not all the problems that the Confederates are having as they cross the Potomac here. Just a little while ago, James Longstreet put John Bell Hood under arrest. Seems that John Bell Hood came into possession of some enemy wagons, and he wanted to keep them. And another Confederate general wanted to take possession of those, and John Bell Hood wouldn't have anything of it, so James Longstreet put him under arrest. And Stonewall Jackson was having some trouble with A.P. Hill. Stonewall Jackson didn't think that A.P. Hill was taking care of his stragglers. He came up to do something about it, and A.P. Hill was very upset that Stonewall Jackson was giving orders to his men, and A.P. Hill would offer Stonewall Jackson his sword, and Stonewall Jackson would take it. And so as they came into Maryland, A.P. Hill and John Bell Hood would both be under arrest. John Bell Hood actually would be under arrest until right before the Battle of South Mountain, and A.P. Hill would be under arrest until right before Harper's Ferry, actually. Now, mid-afternoon, behind Stonewall Jackson is Jeb Stuart. Now, Jeb Stuart's been waiting there all day. It's a curious thing that he didn't find another ford instead of waiting for Stonewall Jackson to come across here. Now, this is going to cause a couple problems. It means that when Stonewall Jackson reaches the Maryland shore and he starts heading north up towards Frederick, he's not going to have any cavalry for a little bit. He's going to have to move really slowly, and that's also going to impede Jeb Stuart's crossing of the Potomac. But nonetheless, he does wait. And by late afternoon, Jeb Stuart's men are ready to cross. And they will cross the Potomac and interpose in between Stonewall Jackson's northern moving troops and the Union Army that's coming out of Washington, D.C. And the first thing that Jeb Stuart will do when he crosses the Potomac He will ride a few miles south on the River Road, and then he will head east towards Poolsville, about 6 miles away, where the Confederates will have their first encounter with the Union cavalry. And that's our next stop.
We hope you've enjoyed this selection from Virtual Antietam, and we'd like to invite you to visit virtualantietam.com, where you can book a guided battlefield tour or find out about the Virtual Antietam CD-ROM that is scheduled for release later this year. The Virtual Gettysburg CD-ROM is available today at virtualgettysburg.com, where you can also download free lesson plans, or you can call us toll-free at 1-800-417-9596. My name is Stephen Recker. I'll see you on the battlefield.